from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly look at Northern California's science and environment. Despite all the buzz around biofuels, industry growth has been slow, and the government has had to scale back its goals. Still, amidst the gloomy news, some Bay Area scientists have made a breakthrough that could move us one step closer to a day when our cars run on fuels made from plants. Lauren Summer has more.
The idea behind biofuels is pretty simple. Plants take sunlight and use that energy to make sugars. The biofuel industry wants to transform those sugars into fuel. Here at the Joint Bioenergy Institute, or JBAI in Emeryville, they're designing microbes to do just that.
This is just E. coli growing in a culture, and this
researcher Greg Bukinski is standing next to racks of glass tubes that are being stirred to help the E. coli bacteria inside them grow. He's engineered the E. coli to do something it normally doesn't do: eat a plant called switchgrass. Bukinski holds up a jar filled with a woody powder.
So you can see, basically, like, when we grind it up to this point, it looks pretty much like sawdust.
If you've heard anything about biofuels, you've probably heard about ethanol that's made from corn, which you can buy at gas stations today. But ethanol can't be transported long distances because it corrodes pipelines. And using corn for fuel has also raised some concerns.
Corn is used extensively to feed animals. Corn is also used for some food as well, human consumption.
Jay Kiesling is CEO of JBAI, which was founded 5 years ago with a $125 million grant from the Department of Energy. It's a partnership between UC Berkeley, Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, and other groups with the mission of creating next-generation biofuels from plants that aren't used for food.
Switchgrass is one that gets mentioned a lot. It grows without a lot of water and fertilizers.
But unlocking the energy inside switchgrass is no easy task.
Plants have evolved to be tough. There are beetles, there are fungi that want to attack them all the time and get access to those sugars. So they've evolved defense mechanisms.
Plants protect their sugars with a tough material called lignin. Once it's gone, the sugars still have to be broken down further. Most companies use industrial enzymes to do that, but this is where Kiesling's engineered E. coli comes in.
What we've done is we've gone to places like the rainforest in Puerto Rico and to compost piles. We've sequenced the organisms that are breaking down that biomass and then cloned those genes into E. coli.
Kiesling's E. coli break down the sugars for themselves, saving an expensive step in the process. And after they eat,
really, they're pooping out now fuels. And these are fuels that can be put directly into gasoline engines, diesel engines, or jet engines.
These microbes are an exciting breakthrough for Kiesling because they could help bring down the cost of production. The federal government was once excited about biofuels, too. Here's former President George W. Bush in 2006.
We'll also fund additional research in cutting-edge methods of producing ethanol, not just from corn, but from wood chips and stalks or switchgrass. Our goal is to make this new kind of ethanol practical and competitive within 6 years.
Congress set up tax credits for plant biofuels with the goal of seeing 500 million gallons produced in 2012. Since then, the industry has faced a harsh reality. The goal for next year has been cut back to just 12 million gallons.
It was oversold. There was a lot of hype around it. It's a tough problem. We can't expect this to happen overnight.
Kiesling says if there's anything that casts a shadow over biofuels, it's the price of their biggest competitor.
If oil is under $100 a barrel, we're not going to see many advanced biofuels on the market. They're just not going to be able to compete. It's virtually impossible.
The costs are still not where we need them to be.
Chris Somerville is the director of the Energy Biosciences Institute, which is also run by UC Berkeley and Berkeley Lab. It was started with a $500 million grant from BP. Like Kiesling, Somerville is also designing microbes.
It's straw. It's just big straw, really.
He shows me a woody grass called miscanthus. They grind it up and feed it to specially engineered yeast that's being developed in the lab. The yeast ferments the grass into biofuel.
It's going to be another 10 years before it really scales up. And it's not because there's a big problem. It just takes time to build and bring online big industrial facilities that are first of a kind.
Companies including BP are now building commercial-scale biofuel plants, but the science is evolving so quickly that Somerville says it's hard for companies to commit.
If you're a company that has to lay down some hundreds of millions of dollars for a new facility, and you look around and every day there's new advances, you think, well, maybe I'll just wait till next week and build a better facility.
Although some in Congress are impatient over the progress of advanced biofuels, Somerville is confident that it's just a matter of time before the industry scales up.
What we're really trying to do is change the world. And, you know, we have this huge entrenched energy sector. And so there's lots of entrenched players that actually don't welcome change.
Andy says if we care about addressing climate change, we won't be able to do it without remaking the fuels that go in our cars. For Quest, I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the Dirk and Charlene Capsanel Foundation.